Telling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena, Kirsten.
Morena. Actually, I should have learned how to say it in Korean.
Well, I'm very excited about what we're talking about today. What is it that we're speaking about?
So we're doing K-pop, and there's sort of a Korean sort of trend thing to put K on things to, you know, make it Korean. So we're going to hear some K-hip-hop, K-indie,
awesome.
K-rock. and that's, I guess, sort of a part of the K-pop thing in that it's become international. So even though, you know, most of it's in Korean language, mm-hmm. They've been able to have this global impact.
Mm.
I guess I like to sort of compare it to Aotearoa as well, you know, that we're small. And the global flows can go both ways. It's not, you know, they sort of talk about Korea decentering the music industry that's usually sort of US and Britain. And
totally,
to have stuff come out has sort of forced people to maybe, you know, open their eyes and look at interesting things happening. And so sort of started in the 1990s in a combination with their government sort of easing up on things and not banning punk clubs. And
so is this in North or South Korea?
South.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're still South. So even they had quite a restrictive government until then. And so they're sort of connection with rap and punk is very 90s. Like for them, punk is like Nirvana and Green Day.
Nice.
You know, so because they sort of came at it
a bit later in the pace.
And then the same with hip hop. And a lot of, especially the rap, they're really into rap, but they're also like really into hip hop dancing. And, you know, 90s was the sort of real, you know, mainstream new jack swing, you know, party music. And so, there's K pop. Well, as we know, pop's got this sort of, it's an umbrella term for all popular music.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, we'll be confusing people a little today because sometimes by K pop we're meaning all of it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you're meaning like the poppity pop as a genre.
Should we get into, did you have a preference of which track you wanted to hear first?
I guess we can play, let's play the Woo-Won Jae.
Yeah.
He's a rapper.
Like, because when I listened to these, I thought they were a little bit more like indie pop.
Definitely. I tried to pick less poppity pop. Because I thought, you know, the BFM listener might not be as interested. So, and even a lot of these bands are trying to fight the K-pop, you know, image. We're not all K-pop.
Now this track has Gray on it, which pop?
It's another person.
Yeah,
yes.
Gray the person.
Yes.
Which pops up in a lot of K-pop tracks, I noticed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know the main guy, he came through on a television rappers competition show, you know,
cool.
So
Expectory
that's part of this
kind of
K-pop
thing.
is multimedia. So K-pop's, when they started as international in the 90s, it was more, you know, Japan, China, Hong Kong, and for that was still big international, right? Because, you know, they don't speak Korean either. But sort of then in the their big export, bigger than K-pop, was K-dramas.
K-dramas. I've watched a few K-dramas.
Have
really
you?
Interesting.
They're supposed to be, you know, the thing. So it's, you know, it's even bigger than K-pop. And so now they also have these, like, you know, like we have American Idol, The Voice, you know, they have these shows, and so some of the artists. So because then K-pop got so big, the government does invest in it.
Right.
You know, it's a big export, and it's a big part
huge
of tourism.
Yeah.
And so they do have, like, schools to learn how to be a pop idol.
Really?
And they'll audition you from it. And so you get the sort of pros and cons of it. Like, I think it's actually cool, the government supporting it. And I think about Aotearoa, you know, what if we really pushed music as this thing that we're going to export and stuff. But yeah, then you get some of the indie bands and you know, not being as happy with it. But that still is. It's TV, internet.
Drama.
Yeah, all of it. Yeah, so it's very multimedia. And they love rap music. And there's been some debates about cultural appropriation. You know, they've had rappers there since the 1990s, so for them, you know, they're not taking something from the United States. Also, a lot of Americans, servicemen in South Korea, and you know, when you get servicemen there, they make little half-American Koreans. And so you get, and there's Koreans in the United States, so American Koreans sort of brought rap in as well.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a melting pot.
Yeah. So it's the cultural appropriation argument doesn't quite stick because it's got their own history.
Yeah.
I'm really into the chorus.
We're all bopping along in studio here. So what's the name of this artist again?
Wuwan J.
Wuwan J.
Call him Woo.
Woo.
If you want to find him on Spotify, yeah, he's just under Woo. Should we move on to the next track?
Okay.
We've got Rock Tigers.
Yeah,
next.
We'll play them. They're a little bit of an older band, so their main sort of years were 2001, 2013.
This is a bit more country.
They do. They call themselves Kimchi Billy.
Kimchi Billy. Nice.
So sort of rockabilly.
Maybe tune in to hear this on Border Radio one night.
So when they do indie, it's probably more the twee side of it. But these guys wear pompadours, leather pants.
Right.
And there's a suburb of Seoul called Hongdae, and that's sort of where all the sort of underground clubs are, the punk clubs, the vintage stores. It's becoming a little gentrified at the moment. You know, that's that sort of cycle.
Yeah.
But that's supposed to be the cool place.
Which means there'll be a new suburb somewhere else.
Yeah,
popping
that's
up.
Right. That's right.
It's a real country inflection in the like slide up in the vocals there.
Did you know there's K-Con?
K what now?
K-Con.
You know K-Con.
How, like,
yeah.
Drag Con, Comic Con. Oh. So now New York and LA have K-Con because there's such hype about all things K, Korean.
The K industries.
Yeah.
They're such a huge machine as well. It's really interesting. I think what I've always found interesting about K-pop and especially like the big pop genre of K-pop as well is you can see the like machinations of the industry quite like clearly, and I think that's sometimes where a lot of criticism about K-pop comes in, as people go, oh, it's just this huge industry machine, blah blah blah. But actually what I find kind of interesting about it is that it's just visible. It's a bit more transparent perhaps than the Western industry. But
let's find the best dancers, the best producers, best looking kids. Apparently they don't always go for the totally best singers. They want that little slight bit of imperfection, which somehow is some sort of cultural thing that
makes audiences.
But there's some of the singers are amazing. You know, like when I was looking for stuff for the show, some of the R&B artists, I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
So they can sing. I think Koreans, a lot of them are Christian, so they do grow up with a singing tradition that's perhaps a little bit more Western. Which builds up their voices.
Sorry, we've just got the next one coming in here.
So
it's a bit of stomping in this.
Hayuko?
Yeah, Hayuko.
Hayuko?
2014. What genre of K would we class this one as?
They call themselves post-K-pop.
Post-K-pop.
And so they're indie, and for them it's not just musical. It's also they sing about anxiety of youth, being nonconformist, a bit of a conformist country, unemployment. There's sort of a perfectionist culture in South Korea, so they sort of rail against that. Ooh, they also sing about lust, innocence, and death.
Ooh, very indie, universal indie themes.
We've got a couple of DJs here at BFM that are big fans of K-pop. And they've been very excited for today's segment.
What I find really interesting is that this is really cool. It's kind of got like a bit of a Folesy sort of sound, hasn't it?
Does,
that
eh?
Like guitar.
I do find it really interesting how everything is blanketed under K-pop.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's...
I mean, as pop as it possibly... I mean, so they rail against it. Some bands rail against it, like this band. And I guess, you know, it's the same tensions we have with the sort of pop industry and the people, I'm not pop, but yet you want success. And then when you become successful. And so apparently even bands like this, even though they're indie and they perform in the clubs and they've got a club base, they will like have a song that appears in a K-drama.
Yeah.
And so it's good for them. I mean, everybody wins.
But that's kind of, I guess, what I was getting at before about people often criticize, people in the Western music sort of world often criticize K-pop for being this huge machine, but actually I guess the transparency of it is there in a way that in the Western world a lot of the industry tries to pretend
that we're not
so
organic,
we're not manufactured, but it totally is in the same way as well. So maybe it's just like a different approach to it rather than being something you can criticize and K-pop for. It's
like
just a
said,
different approach. Yeah,
you said there's the indie people who still get annoyed by that industry run.
That's right, and they rail against it and they try to fight it.
Yeah,
and even one of the big bands at the moment, BTS, that have been doing really well. They you know, they try to really make it known that they write their own music and that they're less controlled.
Cool. I like BTS a lot. They are really cool.
Yeah, see, they rap and they dance, and that is very Korean, too. They love, so with hip-hop, a lot of them, they came through it with the dancing. And one member of BTS studied in Rotorua.
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, his English is good. Now, I'm going to give props because it's such a terrible thing, but Gangnam Style, 2012, that was the big tip-off to outside just being regional.
Yep.
So, yeah, right. they did have a big Asian through the 90s. They got popular in Asia, which, you know, is important for Korea because they've been stomped on politically and in wars by a lot of their neighbors. And so I know, I don't want to name names, but for in some countries, for the older folks to see their young kids speaking Korean, loving Korean stuff, it's like the ultimate payback.
Yeah.
Instead of going to war as revenge on these countries that had warred and treated them horribly, they're getting through, like, through their teenagers' bedrooms.
It's awesome.
We've had a few requests for some NCT.
NCT?
Yeah.
This is
it's
proper
big,
K-pop pop.
Big K-pop. Have you heard of them, Kirsten?
No.
Okay, we'll just
try
a little
to keep
bit
up, but
of
I haven't
it,
heard of them.
And you can tell me what you think. Both Jen from Morning Glory and Pearl, who used to do Top 10, both requested this.
So another, I'm talking about it as soft power. Like, if you can,
I feel like you'd be more into this.
Yeah, this is my thing.
I can see that.
I try to not be so rappy because I try to be non-biased and try to do more indie for you guys.
But you know, see you bopping along straight away into it.
They're also very, I don't know, I'm not being very stereotyping here, but just seem to be really hip.
You know, cool. Like, they're cool. They're
can
so
capture
cool.
Whatever the trend and, you know, and also, I gotta say, I really appreciate boys in lipstick and mascara and with pink hair.
It's great.
Totally.
You know, you rock it on. It's just a different masculinity that Western men and
hugely,
Pacific Island men are just too afraid to do sometimes.
Not all of them, but many.
Yeah. But the soft power, like, it's going through culture. It's like a culture war. You know, they're winning the culture war.
This is cool.
And apparently I have one of my colleagues, she just came back from Korea, and there's a K-pop museum.
That's awesome.
I've heard about
it. And it's interactive, and she got photos and blah, blah, blah. And
so K-pop, a big umbrella with lots of different genres underneath it.
Yeah, so there's not just pop. Pop, yes, absolutely, but big hip-hop is big too, but there's indie, there's punk scene.
There's
and
all
Kimchi
sorts.
Billy.
And Kimchi Billy. I'm quite into the Kimchi Billy, I have to say. What are you bringing up next week?
Electro Swing.
Very cool.
We're
going to
be bopping on that one too.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Kirsten, for bringing us K-pop today. I hope that everybody's got something to go and do a bit of research on over the weekend if you weren't already on the K-pop bandwagon.
And maybe we should have a group trip to KCON.
I'd be so down.
I think us three need that.
I think
the station needs to pay for that.
Yeah.
For research.
If this is
research.
Anyone who wants to sponsor us to go
go to KCON.
Yes!
Hit us up on 5395.
Hello,
that was Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
Thank you.